It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible and talk about themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw. With me is Gary Gibbs. Gary, we've got another deep subject today.
John, we really do. We have been tackling some really difficult topics. And you know, we have talked before we have gone on the air here about whether we should go into some of these, because this really hits at the heart of some major debates and issues and even personal issues today taking place in Western society.
Today, we're going to talk about the subject of abortion. Since Roe v. Wade back in the 1970s, there have been somewhere in the area of 40 million abortions performed. I had someone suggest to me one time that abortion is the most commonly performed surgical procedure in the United States. So this is something that's touching a lot of lives.
Well, actually, over 45% of women have had abortions. So that we're looking at nearly 50% of our female audience here, John, listening to us today, could likely have had an abortion.
Which says to me that if we're going to talk about this at all, we'll need to be as sensitive as we can, as biblical as we can, and very prayerful. I know we have been, that the Holy Spirit would minister during these few minutes that we talk today on Bible Talk.
We really need to. My wife is in GYN OB. She's a midwife, delivers babies at a hospital. And you know, she tells me, John, about people who come in who've had multiple abortions. And as she talks to them and she counsels them, you know, this is very detrimental to the woman who's had the abortion, and not to mention the man. I once counseled a gentleman, John, who, as we were studying the Bible together, we were studying the topic of the unpardonable sin, and he started weeping. I said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Well, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin." I said, "Well, tell me about that." He said, "Well, you know, I got my girlfriend pregnant years ago, and I encouraged her to have an abortion. We went down to the abortion clinic, and we ended that life, and ever since, I felt like I committed the unpardonable sin."
Well, he didn't commit the unpardonable sin, but we're not going to suggest he didn't commit a sin.
No, and he found forgiveness for that, and he was so relieved to realize this was not unpardonable. And so our message today must include to all those who've participated in abortion that God understands, he loves you, he can forgive you as you confess. But for those who've never done this, and somebody might be considering aborting a young child's life, they need to really stop and consider a number of important questions.
My study on this subject has revealed that in people who have had abortions, depression goes way up. The incidence of drug abuse and substance abuse goes way up. I know a couple myself. Early in their relationship, she became pregnant. At his insistence, she had an abortion. Now that they were trying to conceive some years later, they just couldn't. They'd been trying for a long time, and the guilt and the pain and the difficulty that they're going through, they really wish that they had abortion hadn't taken place in the first place. It didn't just end one life, but it affected in a very negative way other lives as well.
Oh, it's something they have to live with the rest of their life. Now, let me ask you a question, John. As we talk about this, there are people listening, and in the public debate today, the question is, well, when does the fetus become a child? I mean, at what point would you say it would be wrong, morally wrong, to abort? Are you looking at a certain trimester? At what point? At conception?
What you're asking me here is to play God in a certain way.
Does the Bible say?
You're asking me an important question. Figure this thing out, because if ever this is going to be done, people do need to answer this question. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child. Boy, I wish I could remember just how far along it was, but very early on, we saw this little ultrasound, a little white blob pulsating. There was a heart beating. Mm-hmm. Where there's a heartbeat, there's a life. Now, you go back a couple of weeks, perhaps there's no discernible heartbeat, but is there a life? This is Bible Talk. Let's see what the Bible says. In Psalm 100 in verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us." So God has made us. We aren't the process, the result of some evolutionary process. There is an architect of life and of the human body, and that is the God of heaven. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24. He that formed thee in the womb, that is the Lord your Redeemer. God forms us in the womb. When does God form us? Can we accurately answer that question? It seems to me that as soon as that thing becomes, when the two parts meet together and come together and make a whole, you've got life. Haven't you got life?
Certainly.
And if you can't be sure, you will not go around ending this thing.
You know, ultrasound has really changed the way a lot of people have looked at this.
Ultrasound has.
I have maybe a 3D or a 4D ultrasound. I don't know the technical term, but it shows my my oldest girl, who's 4 years old today. It shows her, you know, the whole shape of her head, her facial features, her hands, her legs, her feet. It just like a 3D movie or 4D.
You can't look at something like that and say that's not a person.
That's correct.
That's not a life. And abortions are ending lives. You know, the question, when does it begin? The majority of abortions aren't performed in the first week or the second week.
No.
Or the third week. They're performed when hearts are beating and features are forming, and there's little doubt that that's a little baby person inside that womb. No question about it. The Bible says we are the work of God's hands in Isaiah chapter 68. Isaiah chapter 64. If you find Isaiah 68, I guess you better get a new Bible. Psalm 139, you formed my inward parts. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb. And don't we have the account of John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb?
In Luke 1, verse 41, that's right, when Mary greeted Elizabeth, he leapt in her womb.
It's interesting when the protagonists or the promoters of abortion speak. They're talking about, well, we need this in the case of rape and incest. You know, I was a little surprised, given all of the publicity to this, that 1% or less of all abortions happen due to rape or incest. Now, that's still a lot, but 1% dictating what happens in the 100%. I think I want to point out, too, that a pregnancy that comes about as a result of rape or incest, I know there's some terrible things that's happened there. There's tragedy that has taken place. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's not a good thing anyway, you stack it up. But it seems to me that to say the way to fix that problem is to end a life, that's a very difficult thing. Now, some ladies
how do you live with that,
yeah,
though?
You're a man. You'll never understand. You'll never experience. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a Bible here that helps me understand how God would want me to look at this. Mm-hmm. How do you live with that? You know, Gary, I wish I could tell you that I have a really easy, simple, sweet answer. Man, I don't. I just don't, other than to know that God said to Paul, when Paul was wrestling with something, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, if that's a simple answer, maybe it's because the answer is simple. Not easy, but simple. There's grace in God and power in Jesus Christ, and there is comfort in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps the answer isn't to give birth and raise this baby. Perhaps the answer is to offer the child for adoption into a home where there's going to be a good, warm, loving family environment without the maybe stigmas that have been attached.
Well, let me ask you kind of in the same vein, but another question. What about deformed or disabled children? You know, you go to the doctor, does a test on you, he says you're going to have a Down syndrome baby or you're going to have some sort of deformed baby. Do you carry that baby to term?
Let me tell you this. My pastor's wife in my church, my pastor's wife was pregnant and had that little test done. And they said to her, the test has come back showing that your child is going to be deformed. And I'm not exactly sure of the deformity or disability that it was. It's bad news. We recommend you terminate. Well, she disagreed, carried the baby to term, worrying, of course, and has given birth. This is a perfectly healthy, perfectly normal, beautiful child that the medical profession was recommending be terminated due to some test. Now, I'm not sure how many times the tests are faulty, but I know they're faulty sometimes. Even if the tests aren't faulty, is the answer to certain deformity or disability, does that mean to end a life? Recently, I saw on the television, some kid, college age, I think, he's on the wrestling team, he's got a girlfriend, he's a funny, bright, handsome kid, he doesn't have arms or legs to speak of.
But he wrestles.
Oh, yeah, he wrestles. It's remarkable. He has these little stumpy things on his arms and little stumpy legs. I mean, this is a disability if ever there was. He refuses to look at it that way.
You know what's scary is when we start selecting who lives and who doesn't, because we're making decisions or judgments about quality of life for them, that gets very dangerous.
Of course it does.
Where do you stop? The elderly person who can't get out and drive and enjoy life, and they might be losing their hearing. Their quality of life is lower. Are we going to terminate their life?
Or, what the child in the womb with a difficult disability? What about a child in the womb with mild retardation?
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know plenty of Down syndrome people who are wonderful, productive, happy, beautiful people who just happen to have Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is going to say, well, this child is going to be born Down syndrome. Let's abort and end that wonderful life. Again, there are some parents probably listening today who are struggling with raising children in difficult circumstances. I'm not meaning to sound idealistic, but I'm meaning to say that the Bible is suggesting ending the life is not the way out.
John, let me ask you a couple questions here. These are dilemmas that real people have faced. I wonder what our listeners would think and what you would think about the proper solution. Would you abort or not in this case? Here's a preacher and a wife. They're very, very poor. They already have 14 kids. Now she finds out she's pregnant with their 15th kid. Can you imagine? Number 15. They're living in tremendous poverty, considering their poverty and the excessive world population. Would you consider recommending abortion?
Many people would and would act on that recommendation.
And then they would have aborted John Wesley, one of the most famous preachers of all time. Great evangelist of the 19th century, has written some tremendous sermons. His brother wrote numerous wonderful hymns.
Right.
Now, how about a father is sick with sniffles, the mother has tuberculosis, they have four children, the first is blind, the second died, the third is deaf, and the fourth has TB. Now the mother finds she's pregnant again. Would you recommend abortion for this child?
Okay, who was the child born in these circumstances?
This is Beethoven. This is Beethoven.
And many people would have rushed to the abortion clinic and said the best thing to do is end this life.
And we could go on and on with numerous examples like this, and it just shows that you don't know what this life that you consider might be not have quality life, what this person will actually become.
Okay, someone has had an abortion. You said the statistics say almost 45-50% of women under the age of 45 have had abortions, at least one abortion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that woman? What do you say today? Does God love that person? Does God accept that person?
Jesus loves you, and he knows what led you to do what you did, and he can forgive you for that. It's simply coming to Jesus, asking for forgiveness. That's the wonders of the gospel, that you can just come and confess your sin, and he will accept you as you are.
A difficult subject. Living with this is very, very difficult. But even the pain, the difficulty associated with abortion is something that Jesus can take care of and help you through. Come to him today. Trust him with your difficulties and understand that some things are not solutions but are just compounding difficulty and problem. There's hope in Christ, and we'll tell you about it here. Join us for more next time. Thank you for being with us this time on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free, informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for The High Cost of the Cross. The toll-free number is 866-866. Bible Says. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678, or email us at BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.